What is God's will? I don't know if you've ever asked yourself that or wondered about it, but it's something that's been close to my heart of late. And so I just kind of want to share with you a little bit about what the Lord's been speaking to me about it. What is the will of God? How do we know God's will? I would say one way of knowing God's will is to read His Word. The Lord has went through a lot of, I say, effort. You know, I'm sure He probably did it effortlessly, getting this many people together to put together a writing that's so intricate and detailed and deep, covering many situations and circumstances, so much so that we can direct our lives by this Scripture that He's left us. To think that He could put it together from multiple generations past, that we can live according to the standard given in it. Does God use His Word to express His will? I think of one of the early instances where God expressed His will when He told Adam and Eve, do not eat of the tree of life, or of the tree of the knowledge of good and death. Good and evil, sorry. He expressed to them His will. And we can go through the Scriptures and He says, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who persecute you. The Lord is continuously, through His Word, expressing His will in many different areas. I mean, if we went through the Old Testament, we would find that He had specific ways that He would have us to worship Him and to bring ourselves to Him in His presence. Very detailed in how God would have us interact with Him and with one another. And we can go throughout all the Scriptures and you can read from beginning to end and you will see over and over and over God's will in certain circumstances, certain ways of life. You might say, what should I do in this particular case? And more often than not, you will find in the Scriptures an answer to those questions. And so, really, most of God's will is pretty well presented to us in His Word, where we can read it, receive it, take it into ourselves, and live our lives by it, by the will of God. So one of the things the Lord wants us to do is obey Him. When He says, thou shalt and thou shalt not, we ought to pattern our lives according to those commands. That's part of God's will. Now, I don't know about you all. Well, I do know about you all, but not a one of us, and I mean not a one, has been able to do everything according to God's Word from day one. Every one of us has fallen short of the will of God in one area or another in our lives. And so, what did He have to do? Send a Redeemer. Right? We needed a Redeemer because our sins had ensnared us, if you would say, or compassed us about, brought death upon our lives and upon our eternal life. And so God sent His Son to redeem us. So what is the will of God? His will is for us to be saved. His will is for us to be delivered. His will is for us to be free from the bondages of sin. His will is for us to repent, to acknowledge that we haven't done everything correctly, We haven't done everything according to His word, or we ought not have responded in this way, or we ought not to have done this certain thing. To repent of that. And He's made a way for us to receive redemption for that. Forgiveness of sins, cleansing, purifying. God wants us to repent. Let's go to 2 Peter. What is the will of God? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know that the Lord is not willing for anyone to go to hell. He's not willing for anyone to perish. That's not according to His will. His will is to redeem. His will is to free, to deliver. That's God's will. What interrupts His will in those aspects is our will. Sometimes our will is what hinders us. Our will is in opposition to God's will and keeps us from being delivered many times. God is long-suffering toward us and not willing that we should perish, but that we should be delivered through repentance. What is repentance? You know, I think about my children and they don't treat each other right. Right? They just don't. One slaps the other one slaps back. You know, they don't treat each other right. And I'm trying to teach them nice. You got to be nice. The Lord wants us to be kind. The Lord wants us to be loving. You know, but they just aren't that way yet. Right? They have to learn. What does it mean to repent? So I'll tell my son, you need to tell Titus you're sorry. And he'll say, sorry. Right? Is that repentance? No, he still has to learn. And sometimes we may do the same thing. And I think it's very common in our society where people tell God, sorry. But it's not real repentance. Repentance is when the sorrow is so deep that it hurts you to think of even doing it again. Repentance is not just saying, you know what, I'm sorry, but realizing the depths of the wrong that you've committed and despising it somewhat to say that you just can't fathom doing it again. That would be repentance. To turn it completely around. To not do it anymore. To resolve it within yourself that you'll not do it anymore. God wants us to repent. I think of the message that Jesus brought out in John 1. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. But you know, a lot of times in our society, we think of that word as a kind of a negative word. Like, there's something wrong with that. But you know, repentance is free. When we can repent and cry out to God and open ourselves up to Him completely and say, Lord, this is me. It's wrong. I ought not to be this way. And this is my situation. Please forgive me. Restore me. Give me life. And God's will is to give you life. God's will is to deliver us. God's will is to prepare a place for us to dwell with Him forever. God's will is to love us and to take care of us, to protect us, to be a shield to us from our enemies. These are God's will. Matthew chapter 21. I'm not going to read the whole story, but Jesus is talking to, I believe he was talking to the Pharisees, and he asked them, or gives them a story of two sons where the father says to the first, go into my vineyard and work. And he says, I go, sir. But then he didn't go. And he tells the second one, go into my vineyard and work. And he says, I'm not going. But afterwards he repented and went. And Jesus asked them in verse 31, whether of them twain did the will of his father? Think about that. Which of them did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Why is that? Because the publicans and the harlots repented and turned their hearts over to God so that he could deliver them and free them. And so the will of God is for us to repent. Like I said before, not a one of us has been able to live completely and totally according to God's word from a baby on. Every one of us has needed deliverance at one point or another in our life, and to be taught what is good and what is right and what is the perfect will of God. We've had to be taught these things. When I first got saved, I didn't know everything about the Bible and everything I needed to do to live in accordance to God's will. I had to learn. I had to read His Word. I had to listen to what He had to say to me. And He taught me. And I had a heart to receive it. And I prayed that the Lord would show me, teach me how to be what You would have me to be. Teach me Your will, Lord. Because I knew that His way was best. His plans were perfect. It's amazing to look into God's Word and the way that He asks us to be and to see the perfection of it. If we can just get a hold of it and be what the Lord would have us to be, heaven's going to be an amazing place. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. I think about this scripture and I think about how it says suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You know, to do the will of God, you will suffer in the flesh. And I don't mean that to say that people are going to beat you or stone you, similar to what they did with the disciples and the apostles, but sometimes that suffering is the flesh is just telling yourself no. Sometimes it can be a suffering in the flesh to do the will of God because your will is pushing against it. Your will wants something else. Your will wants to do something else. I think again of my children. The one slaps the other. It's a strong impulse for the other one to slap back. You know, it's a nature. A corrupt nature. And to resist that fleshly desire, to resist that natural tendency because of the will of God is sometimes a suffering. But you know, the will of God, to have the will of God in our lives is a huge blessing. I don't know how many times the Lord has delivered me from hardships and struggles because I have trusted in His will and placed myself in a way to be obedient into His will. What is the will of God? He wants us saved. He wants us to repent. Is that enough? Is repentance enough? Many people stop at that point. They repent. And they mean it in their heart. They're sorry for what they've done. They detest what it is that they've been brought to. The tendency that has exposed itself. They go before the Lord in tears, crying out to God to forgive them for their sin, to restore them to the relationship with Him. And then they find themselves in a similar situation, in a similar circumstance, and once again, they fell. And once again, they're so sorry. And once again, they cry out to God and seek His forgiveness with a broken and a contrite heart. But you know that the will of God was for there to be more than that. The will of God was for there to be more than a relationship like that with Him. Of constant offenses and constant forgiveness. That's not what God came to deliver us from. The Lord came to free us completely and totally. To deliver us and to give us victory. So what is the will of God? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4. Verses 3 and 4. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. The will of God is to sanctify us, to purify us, to set us apart, to make us holy, to separate us into His work, into His will, to make us clean. That is the will of God. It's not something that we achieve in our own strength and our own ability. I can't give you a list of the commands of God and the will of God, one thing after another, thou shalt, and thou shalt not, and thou shalt, and thou shalt not, and I just give you a big list. These are all the ones that are in the Scriptures. Here's your list. And I just give them out to everybody. And you will not find success in completing that list without God. You will not find success and being victorious in those areas, in all those thou shalt, without sanctification in the Spirit of God in your heart and in your life. The Lord wills that we be sanctified and purified and set apart by His Spirit. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. This is the Lord. This is the promise of God. He's saying that He will do this. And this is what He'll also do. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. He's going to put his spirit within you so that you can walk in his statutes and in his judgments, or, if I might say, in his will. He's going to give you his spirit. It's going to enable you, give you power. Power that you've not known before to be victorious over sin and the devil through sanctification of God's Spirit. The Lord wills that we be sanctified. The Lord wills that we be saved. The Lord wills that we be delivered, that we be forgiven, that we be restored to new life. He wills that we be a new creature, a new creation, So let's go to 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. What is the will of God? That we be obedient. What is God's will? That we be delivered, that we be free, that we be saved, sanctified, meet for the Master's use, separated, cleansed, purified. These are God's will for our lives. And He says that if we will ask Him anything according to His will, these are according to God's will. He wants to purify you. He wants to set you apart and make you holy. That is God's will. And He says all we have to do is go to Him and ask Him. And He says that if it be according to His will, He'll hear us and give us what it is that we're asking of Him. The Lord will grant us that victory. The Lord will grant us that purity of heart, that newness of heart, that new creation. He will grant those things to us when we come to Him and lay ourselves out to Him and ask. He says, what father, when his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or who asks for a fish will give him a serpent? But his Father will give him good gifts. The Lord wants to give us good gifts if we'll just ask Him. The Lord wills to give us these things. So I was thinking about this. What is God's will? And I reached a situation where it reminds me of a young man that came to Jesus. And we hear his story often. And I don't have it written down, but I'm going to try to find it real quick. The rich young ruler, Matthew chapter 19. And behold, one came and said unto him, this is starting at verse 16, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's almost like he's asking God for his will. What is God's will? What must I do to be saved? And Jesus gives him, similar to what we've already done, is thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And the young man saith unto him, all these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? You know, I think about that. And I mean, I don't know how many messages have been spoken on this particular passage. And we can look at this young man and think that he had some sort of ulterior motive in presenting his request to God or to Jesus. And maybe he was trying to get out of something. But I don't know. Have you ever reached a point in your life where you felt like you were doing what God would have you to do? You felt like you were victorious in your heart and in your life, and the Lord was directing your steps, and almost to the point where you could feel like, what else do I have left, Lord, to do? What must I do? And I think of this young man and saying, what else can I do? What do I lack yet? And Jesus says unto him, if thou wilt be perfect. In other words, if you want to go a little further, you want to be a little closer, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Did Jesus ask that of everyone? Did he ask everyone to go and sell everything they had? To give it away and to follow him in this manner? What is the will of God? I look at this young man and I feel like he's going before the Lord and he's saying, what do I lack yet? What more can I do? And the Lord gave him something. I believe what the Lord gave him was specific to him. The will of God for this young man. And I think the same goes true for us. Is sometimes the Lord has a will for us that's beyond what is necessarily written or said. It goes beyond the natural morality of life. Even some of the unnatural morality of life. And loving your enemies seems very unnatural to do. But it goes beyond even that. Because those are things that God wants every one of us to do. But there's a will of God that's for you. There's something that God wants to do in you that's specific to you, that He's not asking me to do. I don't believe the Lord is asking every one of you to preach the gospel, to be a missionary. I don't believe God is asking every one of you to do that. But He has something specific to you. God's will for you and God's will for me. And so I think about this dilemma, wanting to know the will of God. And yes, He gives us so many things. This is my will. This is my will. This is my will. And we can get a hold of those things and we can apply them to our hearts and our lives. But we get to a point still where we're going further. Lord, I want Your will. Lord, I want to be led by You. I want to follow You wherever You would want to take me. Teach me Your will. What is our hindrance? We've already spoke about it. The hindrance to God's will is our will. Jesus gave Him His will. Go, sell all that you have. Give to the poor. Come follow Me. And it says He went away sorrowful. Why was He going away sorrowful? He received what it is the Lord had asked Him, or what He had asked the Lord for. Why did He go away sorrowful? Because of His own will. He was fighting and struggling with His own will. Did He overcome? Was He victorious? I don't know. It doesn't say. But I believe that we can present ourselves to the Lord in a similar way and say, Lord, what is Your will? What would You have me do? And sometimes our will may hinder it and cause us to go away sorrowful. I think about, does God have a will in our personal lives? Does it matter to God where we live? Does it matter to God where we work? Does it matter to God who we hang out with? You know, I ask those questions and you know, I can't find a specific place in the Scripture where it would tell me where to work or where to live. But you know, when I go before the Lord and I just put it out there, I don't feel liberty to move anywhere I want to move. I don't feel that liberty. I feel like I need to be led to do that. I feel like I need the Lord to sanction it, to tell me that it's all right, or to tell me that it's according to His will or according to His desire, in line with His ultimate will for my life. I think of Abraham, where God told him, I want you to move and I want you to go to a faraway country. He had no idea where he was going. He didn't know where the Lord was sending him. But he was following after God's will, and the Lord sent him to a land that He had prepared for him. doing the will of God. Teach me to do your will, O God. Let's look at Psalms 143. Verse 10. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. I'm still learning how to follow God's will in my life. And it's gotten to a point where it's very personal. It's very specific to me. Like I said, God's not asking me to do the same thing He's asking you to do. We're in an area of will that is beyond generalization, but it's very specific. The Lord wants to be specific and intimate in our relationship with Him. He has specific things for us to do that will be in accordance to His will, if we will allow Him in. If we will suffer in the flesh and surrender our will to Him. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6. Let's start at verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. If we really want to do God's will, and we really want to know His will, sometimes we have to do it purely and solely out of our heart and what God has spoken to our hearts. I can't explain it, but there's been times where the will of God for me has been, thou shalt not, and it was specific to me. Had nobody else in mind, wasn't talking to anybody else, wasn't in the scripture that's made it generalized, but the Lord had told me, no, thou shalt not. And I felt like I had to abide by that. I had to surrender to it. I had to acknowledge it and put myself under it. Because why? I want to serve the Lord. I want to serve God. I want to serve Him in the capacity that He wants me to. I want to do His will. And so I believe that there are times when the Lord says no. And we need to be willing to say, yes, Lord, amen. Because we want the will of God. I really want the will of God in my life and in my heart. And yes, it's not always black and white as to what God's will is. So what do? How do we know the will of the Lord? If it's not in His Word, how do we know the will of God? If you can't tell me, you can't tell me those specifics about God's will for me. So how will I know? Let's go to Jeremiah 29. Very, very popular passage. Verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. You know, sometimes, well, I'll look at it like this. The Lord says He has thoughts for us. He has plans for us. He has a will for us, specific to us. Not generalized, not dealing with masses. We're talking about a personal relationship with God who's speaking to our hearts and has a specific will for us. Something that we need to get from Him. How do we get that? You shall seek me and find me when you shall search with all your heart. I believe the Lord wants us to dig in and to really get into prayer with Him and to really get into meditating on Him and seeking His face and asking Him to show us His specific will for us. We've gone past thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not commit adultery. We've gone past those things. And now we're trying to get into the real relationship with God. We've gotten the hindrances out. We've got the sin that does so easily beset us that separates us from our relationship with God. We've got that covered through repentance, through sanctification, through God's Spirit entering into our hearts and creating a new heart and a new life and a new spirit in us. We've got those things covered. And now we're going further. We're going deeper. We're getting closer to God and asking Him for His intimate will for us. His desire for us on an intimate level. Search with all your heart. How badly do you want it? How badly do you want to live according to God's will? To be in His will. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Just one example, but that's often, that is a good example of what God does. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Did Paul choose to be an apostle? No, it says it was by the will of God that he was chosen to be an apostle. And Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. We can look throughout all the scriptures in different ones. Philip the evangelist. Timothy was a bishop. Different ones that God called specifically for a specific work. They spoke to them specifically His will and His desire for their lives. Does the Lord care about where we work and what we do? Does He care where we minister? I think about a circumstance in Acts where Paul had a mind to go to Asia. They were out preaching the gospel. They were giving the good news. They were ministering God's word to souls. Souls everywhere. There's people lost everywhere. And they want to go to Asia. And the Lord says, no. Why not? The Lord has anointed me. He's made me an apostle. God has a specific will. He had a specific plan. And for them to go to Asia was not part of that plan at that time. But I think of his sensitivity to the Lord, his sensitivity to the Spirit, to be able to hear God say no. Because in all naturalness, you would think, why not go? They need the gospel too. They need the good news. They need to be delivered. They need to be free. We got good news here. That you can be delivered from your sins. But the Lord had something more specific for them to do and sent them to Mesopotamia instead. Maybe He sent someone else to Asia. I don't know. But God has specific will for him. Specific plan. I think of another instance where Abraham needed a wife for his son Isaac, and he sent his servant to a far country to go get him a wife. And this servant, thank the Lord, prayed unto God, asking for his guidance. You know that the Lord has a will in who you marry? God has a will in that? If you want to let Him. If you want Him to be involved in that process. The Lord has a will in that. Yeah, we can go about our own way and do our own will. Maybe it works out for you, maybe it doesn't. But he went there and he asked God to pick her for him. I love that. He went there asking for the specific will of God for Isaac. Very specific. God has a specific will for you and for me that maybe we won't be able to get black and white through the Scriptures. The Lord speaks through His Word, speaks to us specifically sometimes in His Word where maybe it's not a general statement, but you know that God is speaking to you and He's speaking to your heart and He's saying, this is you. This verse applies to you. The Lord has a specific will for us if we will allow Him to. And I again ask, how do we get that will? How do we know the will of God in these intimate areas of our lives, in these areas where it's obscure, it's not written out plainly? We have to have a relationship with Him, an intimate relationship with Him. I think about Moses and how God spoke to him face to face. The intimate relationship with them. That Moses knew things that everyone else didn't really know. Because of that closeness that he had with God. I think of Abraham and how God says, should I hide from Abraham what I plan to do in Sodom? Should I hide that from him? And he did. He told Abraham. I think of Elisha and how a woman whose son died was rushing to him to have him help her with her son. And he didn't know what was going on until she got to him. And he made a statement that the Lord has hidden it from me. And I take that to mean that he was accustomed to knowing what God was doing. He was accustomed to people's circumstances. And he was, if you would say, a discerner. He was able to discern through his relationship with God what was taking place in people's lives. And in this specific case, it was hidden from him. And so I ask us, how do we get to know the will of God? How do we get to know these deep, intricate, intimate relationship situation with God? To know our path, to know our direction, to know answers to these questions that are specific. Where should I live? Where should I work? Who should I marry? I would think that the world would find that ridiculous. That we would even think to ask God of such situation or of such answers. But you know, it is very important in our life before the Lord that we have His will in all areas. Because, you know, I can move off to some place just because I like it or think it's pretty. And, you know, they got lakes and rivers and it's nice. And, you know, I can maybe get a nice house there. And, yeah, I think that's what I'll do. But there's no church there. There's no fellowship there. There's going to be leanness there. I think of Lot, who saw Sodom and Gomorrah and thought, wow, this is great. Look at this. Yeah, that's the land that I want. Sin and corruption there vexed his righteous soul. I think of how I can choose that job that's going to take me away, where I can't be there to raise my children, to teach them right, to give them instruction in godliness, to spend that time with them. Does God have a will in that? I think of that companion that you desire. Does God have a will in that? Will you go about and do your own will and find yourself vexed day after day because of the choice you made, rather than waiting upon God and allowing Him to reveal His will? The Lord has a will for us. Teach us, Lord, to follow after Your will. Teach us to seek after Your will. To bow before Him. To cry out to Him. Show me, Lord. Show me what it is You would have for me to do in all areas of our lives. I've just mentioned a few. I'm sure there's so many more where we ask the Lord, should I? Shouldn't I? What do You think about this? I asked one of the ministers one time, Can I move anywhere I want to go? And he kind of looked at me like, but then he says, do you want to serve God? And I was like, what? Yeah, I want to serve God. Then why wouldn't you ask Him? It was his insinuation. Why would you want to just go any old where? Don't you want to be in His will? Don't you want to serve God? Isn't that where the blessings are? Isn't that where the protection is? Isn't that where the security and comfort? It's in the will of God. That's where it's at. And He has a will for us, specifically. His will is to bless us. His will is to give us an expected end. And we can have it if we'll just beseech Him and draw near to Him. I want to do God's will, and I pray that you all will too. Pray for me.